You take God's Word and find the book of Romans chapter 3. Tonight we're in Romans chapter 3 and 5 as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. There's no more solemn occasion than when God's people gather around the table of the Lord to take of the bread and the cup, ordained by the Lord Jesus for his church as a remembrance of the sacrifice that he made for our redemption. We sang just now that great song by Isaac Watts, At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? What powerful words those are. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Thus might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, and the sun did hide when Jesus hung on the cross from noon to 3 p.m. When Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. We think tonight about the cross. What happened at the cross? What happened at the cross is the single most important event in human history. And of course, we must speak of the resurrection when we speak of the cross. For if our Savior was still in the tomb, we would have no hope. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we celebrated last Sunday on Resurrection Day, is God's vindication that what took place on the cross was real. No cross, there's no sacrifice for sin. No sacrifice for sin, there's no forgiveness of sin. No forgiveness of sin, there's no salvation for Adam's fallen race. And every one of us are the sons and daughters of Adam, who came into this world with a Adamic sinful nature, absolutely incapable of making ourselves right with God. So tonight, at the cross, I want to speak to you tonight from Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5 about three biblical truths which are revealed at the cross of Christ. And then we're going to say together the covenant of Lakeview Baptist Church, have a time of self-examination, and then take of the bread and the cup which Jesus has commanded we take. The first biblical truth I want you to see, which is revealed at the cross of Christ, is at the cross of Christ, the wrath of God was satisfied. At the cross of Christ, the wrath of God was satisfied. If you ask the typical person on the street, just use one word to describe God, they would probably say, God is love. And God is love. But God is also holy. The seraphim cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. God is holy love. And because God is holy, God hates sin. God is against sin. It is the wrath of God against sin that makes God holy. We wouldn't want a God who wasn't holy. We wouldn't want a God who let sin reign unchecked in this world. Now, it's not popular in some circles today to speak of God as wrathful, but he is. The Bible's testimony is very clear on this. To give ground here is to make a grievous error. So at the cross of Christ, the wrath of God against sin was satisfied in full. And the Lord's Supper reminds us of that. Look in Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. We read in verse 25 that God, that's God the Father, presented him, that's God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement. You may have a translation which says propitiation, which is really a transliteration from the Greek New Testament. A propitiation is a sacrifice of atonement. I have a footnote about this phrase, sacrifice of atonement, at the bottom of my Bible that says, the one who would turn aside his wrath, taking away sin. So God has a holy, wrathful anger against sin. Sin must be judged. But on the cross of Christ, at the cross, the wrath of God was satisfied. Now how? Look again in verse 25. Through faith in his blood. The cup that we take is symbolic of the blood of Christ shed for the remission of our sins. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There's no other way for us to be made clean and pure and holy apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second sentence in verse 25, he, God the Father, did this to demonstrate his justice. God is just, and God must punish sin. And so on the cross of Christ, God was demonstrating for the whole world to see his justice against sin. Now, look in verse 26, we see this same phrase again. He did it to demonstrate his justice. The cross of Christ was a demonstration of the justice of God against the sin of Adam's fallen race. And then there is this intriguing combination of words here in verse 26 where Paul writes, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So on the cross, when God the Father placed on God the Son all of his holy wrath against sin, so that Jesus had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? All the sin of human history placed on the sinless Son of God. God was judging sin. He was maintaining his justice against sin as he placed his wrath on his one and only sin. God is just. He is holy. He is righteous. And he is the one who justifies those who put their faith in Christ. So on the cross, the wrath of God against sin was satisfied. Sin's debt was paid in full. And Jesus announced that when he cried out, it is finished. There's nothing else can be done. Nothing else that needs to be done. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He, the Lord Jesus, washed it white as snow. So what happened at the cross of Christ? Well, the wrath of God was satisfied. The second truth that we see in Romans chapter 3 about the cross of Christ, here it is, at the cross of Christ, the people of God are justified. We see this in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. At the cross of Christ, the people of God are justified. Now, a sinner's greatest need is to be justified. And what we cannot do on our own, God has done for us at the cross of Christ. Look in verse 21 and following. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, which the law and the prophets testify. To be justified is to be declared righteous. This righteousness from God comes apart from all the law. It's not our observance of the commands of God, because we all fall far short. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes, not from the law, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This righteousness comes through Christ, His finished atoning work on the cross to anyone and everyone who believes. There is no difference, Paul writes, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person alive today, every person who ever has lived in the past, and every person who will live in the generations to come if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries in His return, every single one is guilty before a holy God. And what is the payoff for sin? Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin, the payoff for sin is death. We, every single one, deserve the wrath of God to be cast from the presence of God forever and ever in the lake of fire. And if you think you're too good for that, then you're a long, long way from the kingdom. So we read here in verse 23, all of us have sinned, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But praise God, verse 24, that those who have faith in Christ are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So at the cross of Christ, the people of God are justified. They're not the people of God until they believe, but when they believe in Christ, His finished atoning work on the cross, they are declared just or righteous. Now, one way to understand this doctrine of justification is to think of it as, now that I'm in Christ, I've trusted Christ for my eternal salvation. When God the Father looks at me, He sees me in Christ Jesus, and it's just as if I never sinned. That's true. But that's not all the truth. It's not just that God the Father sees those who trust in Christ as if they never sinned, but it's also true that He sees us as if we always obeyed the law. Now, we have sinned, and we haven't always obeyed the law. But we're in Christ, and God has declared us as righteous as Jesus is righteous. That is your position in Christ. Don't let the devil beat you up and tell you you're a sorry, rotten, no good, nobody if you're in Christ. Now, the fact of the matter is, we want our practice to measure up to our position, and the Lord's Supper is always a good occasion for us to search our hearts and examine our hearts and see if we need to have sins we need to confess, and we will do that tonight. But this righteousness is by faith to all who believe. All are guilty, but all of us are justified by grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. And so at the cross of Christ, the wrath of God was satisfied, and at the cross of Christ, the people of God are justified in God's sight. It's His work. But the third truth I want you to see is in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and is this: at the cross of Christ, the love of God was magnified. And indeed it was. Chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8, we read these words. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's another indictment of the human race. every one of us apart from Christ in the sight of God is ungodly, guilty, sinful, rebellious. But those are the ones for whom Christ died. Look at it again. When we were still powerless to make ourselves right with God, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. You know, from time to time we read about people who give themselves up to save somebody else in some kind of heroic measure. Oftentimes you read of accounts like that during the times of war. One of the most interesting books I read some years ago was the one by Lieutenant General Harold Moore and journalist Joseph Calloway entitled, We Were Soldiers Once and Young. General Moore's now deceased, but lived to be 100 plus, citizen of Auburn, and a great patriot. And in that book, We Were Soldiers Once and Young, they describe the death of a medic named Calvin Bouknight. They say Bouknight was running from one wounded soldier to another administering first aid when he was shot between the shoulder blades. His fellow soldiers carried him off the field of battle in a bloody poncho and laid it at the feet of his commanding officer. Bouknight said, I didn't make it. And knowing that his wound was fatal. And then General Moore and Joseph Calloway said these words about their fellow comrade in arms, quote, the scriptures say there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. That is what Calvin Bouknight did in that fire-filled jungle. He sheltered the wounded he was treating with his own body, his back to enemy guns, completely vulnerable. We stand in amazement that someone would lay his life down for somebody else like that. And we salute them for their courage and their bravery. What Jesus did on the cross was infinitely greater than that. When this soldier laid his life down to save his fellow comrades in arms, he was one sinner dying for another. And while that deserves our commendation, it is nothing to compare with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, who laid his life down on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of our sins. At the cross of Christ, the love of God was magnified. Look at it again in verse 7. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still rebels against our God, Christ died for us in our place as our substitute. You and I deserve to be on that cross, but Jesus was there in our place. We must never, never lose this. This is the heart and soul of the gospel of saving grace. Apart from the death of Jesus on the cross and his shed blood on the cross, there is absolutely no hope for sinners to be reconciled to our holy God. Again, we sang tonight these words by Isaac Watts, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. And every time we come to the Lord's table, it ought to be a time for you and I to once again just surrender to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give to you all that I am or ever hope to be. I lay aside all my sins. I worship you. I want to live for your glory. At the cross of Christ, the wrath of God was satisfied, the people of God are justified, and the love of God was magnified.